The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, where we are in the doctrine of the U.S. and prophecy. We are on page 3, Roman numeral 9 of our notes. Okay, we enjoin you to employ the rapid recovery system in regards to your personal sin life if you are so inclined to profit from the study once again this evening at hand. How we're able to do so is through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, where in our prayer confession, name citing, acknowledging our sins to God, we may feel sorry, we may not. Those sins known, as we try to keep track, detailed track, those that we may not have know about, have forgotten otherwise, God still forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is what creates the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, activates it in regards to our Christian life. It isolates the sin nature, and therefore we are enabled through a supernatural power, that being God the Holy Spirit, to be enlightened to the truth at hand in the preferred fashion of which is so designed the scriptures to be understood in this capacity. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start from a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we're reviewing here in the doctrine of the United States of prophecy, we see that Edom, the nation Edom, has prophetic far fulfillment in regards to references to it in the Old Testament, along with prophetic Babylon in this regards, and those fulfillments occur in the same era or time frame as Babylon. Edom had aligned itself politically and militarily with Babylon and was part of the political force in the overthrow and destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Therefore, they can be viewed, if you will, as one entity along with Babylon in that vein. However, they remain distinct in regards to their historical significance, and that most specifically, their religious or spiritual background. As we know, Edom derives his name from Jacob's twin brother, Esau. It was Esau that sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of red lentil stew. And that is where the name Edom is derived from in regards to its spiritual significance. And that is, Esau was born with a great spiritual heritage given to him under the Abrahamic covenant. And he comes to reject it, to despise it, abandon it, if you will, and God, who provided it. And in turn, he comes under God's hatred and God's wrath, as the words so claim so specifically, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So it is the spiritual heritage that is designed in looking at Edom and Babylon together as one entity that is to be emphasized with respect to that arm of prophetic Babylon as in view through Edom's prophecy. That is, Eden symbolizes the United States itself, exhibiting the same spiritual characteristics. As we started off with a great spiritual heritage set in front of us to claim for ourselves, to build upon, and over the centuries, the couple of centuries that have gone by, we have in turn determined to abandon it, to disregard it, to reject it as a nation. And hence, we too come under God's wrath. It reflects, along with Eden, along with Esau, both the culpability and the evil and negative volition that ultimately exudes from both entities in that vein. The tie between Edom and Babylon as being one entity is further substantiated in regards to all of the verses that we find direct parallels of characterization and narrative in regards to both prophecies and both entities that obviously tie them together in that vein. And that's what we're dealing with here in Roman numeral 9, as we saw, one, both were charged with great arrogance, and we split out for you here in our notes the verses that refer to prophetic Babylon compared to the verses that is referred to prophetic Edom, or political, if you prefer to use that term. Two, we saw that arrogance results in self-deception on both parties. To become prideful and arrogant exalts oneself, and one becomes self-deceived that somehow they're greater than what they truly are in reality. Three, self-deception then leads to playing God as a nation, to dictate the very livelihood society in that regards, that the citizen, John Q. citizen, can't take care of themselves, private industry, and the medical system that has been surviving and prospering for years can now, all of a sudden take care of a flu-like viral epidemic or bacterial, whatever research you're doing and that you come up with in regards to whatever it is. They still have yet, that I've seen, produce the gold star standard proof that this COVID-19 actually exists by doing a double-blind study and having peer review in regards to it, as I've mentioned before. But either way, obviously something's out there making some people sick, and it could be a lot of it old age, but we won't get into that either. But anyway, the playing God as a nation, and hence interfering in regards to the lives of people, telling families how they have to live, telling families in regards to when they can work and when they can't, and things of this nature. And that's what's going on in regards to these things. So obviously right now for us, it's not hard to put these things in its proper perspective and see what's going on in our own nation. Obviously it has a global outreach in regards to its impact, as the whole thing under my doctrinal frame of reference is nothing more than establishing and initiating the platform designed for a one world government under Antichrist. Obviously you got to recognize when he shows up on the scene, he's got about three and a half years to get the world together and to establish his image in the temple in Jerusalem and bring the world under his authority and control in regards to trade, in regards to monetary and economic facilities, in regards to people. And therefore, a lot of that is in place when he shows up. The platform has been established, if you will. It's a matter of again just putting the app on the iPhones and making it happen, so to speak. So anyway, playing God as a nation is attributable to both Babylon and Edom. For both are guilty of maltreatment of the Jews, anti-Semitism, dictating Israel in regards to their history, in regards to their destiny, manipulating with their hands in their affairs and things of this nature, as well as past anti-Semitism that has occurred even within our own country. In that regards, five, both are characterized as wealthy and prosperous, the envy of others. I grew up hearing foreigners saying that how great it would be to be a United States citizen and to be rich like all the Americans are. That's how our world has often been perceived. Our nation has been perceived by the world over our past history. Six, both defined her defenses utilizing satellite and space technology. The language of the eagle's nest, building the towers to heaven, and things of this nature, that's language of accommodation to reflect upon our space technology that obviously we have excelled in regards to being a nation. And we boast upon in regards to providing for us the defense that we need to protect ourselves so that none can ever conquer us. So, seven, both have international alliances on which they rely, have their allies that they depend upon doing trade with. They got their back, so to speak, in regards to other contingencies that may occur in regards to world politics, global politics, etc. Eight, the same nations of alliance hate and abandon in time of need. The same people we will find are not truly the friends that they say they are when it comes down to their neck being potentially in the news too. They run and turn. That's when you find out who is loyal, who's committed, is when the chips is down and it looks like everybody can be wiped out in regards to, you know, some type of attack or whatever, and who gets up and runs and who doesn't. Nine, both claim a superior form of wisdom, albeit wisdom that will not deliver the nation from judgment. And again, we provide for you the documentation of comparison between both Babylon and Edom in regards to each of these points, each of these parallels that we're bringing out. The academia, the technology, all these things that we now have turned into our God. And that now is superior in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine, otherwise that our country used to rely upon and turn to in regards to resolving situations legally and otherwise in our country. That's gone down the tubes. It's all relative now. And obviously that's been all corrupted through our academic systems, pushing false science such as evolution, things of this nature. 10, that's where we left off. We'll pick up there. Both claim invincibility, as I've alluded to already. Nobody can overthrow us. We'll shoot down their missile before it even gets close to us. We wasn't counting on a few thousand of them coming our way there. That was my insert there. For Babylon, see Isaiah 47:8. Who says in your heart, 8b, I am, and there is no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know a loss of children. Hence, that nothing can take us down as a nation, truly, militarily. And then for Edom, Obadiah 1, 3, and 4. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place. You say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to earth?" Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars. Again, the language of accommodation that is used here with respect to our space technology as our defense mechanism.
From there I will bring you down, declares the Lord.
Well, that's a little clue that the attack is going to come from above. See, from there I will bring you down. The very system, the very satellite system, space technology, things of that nature that you depend upon for your defense is the very type of technology that's going to bring you down. So, point 11, now the timing of their destruction is directly related to the day of the Lord and establishment of the millennial kingdom. For Babylon, Isaiah 13, six and nine. Well, for the day of the Lord is near. This oracle concerning Babylon, verse 1. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Day of the Lord is a phrase to point to the tribulational period or Daniel's 70th week. As we see it used in the remainder of Scripture and in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. Cruel with fury and burning anger to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate his sinners from it. And then, again, for Edom, we go back to Obadiah. There, verses 15 and 21. Used in the context now, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Edom in Obadiah. For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. There's your time sequence that shows you far fulfillment is embedded in regards to this prophecy. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will be turned on your own head. And then verse 21, the deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau. And the kingdom will be the Lord's. To the aspirations of our arrogance and pride to be the queen of the nations, to rule over all, will be undone. Obviously, global rule, world rule, belongs to none other than Jesus Christ. So, those verses make it very clear, again, that we're dealing both with prophetic entities that occur in the last days. The same time period, same era. 13, both are unprepared and ambushed due to arrogance and supposed invulnerability. Rather than truly staying on top of our military, we let our guard down. We're too preoccupied in the almighty buck and gaining control over people and things of this nature. And while we're doing that, our enemy has been sinking all their dough into building up their military, that being the bear. Isaiah 47:11 for Babylon. The evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away. You won't be able to politically negotiate this one. And disaster will fall on you. Go in and bribe or whatever it takes, you know. For which you cannot atone. It's too late now. There is no room for repentance. There is no room for forgiveness. It shows you that grace, while it's available in a pool of mercy that is unfathomable almost in the depth regards to God's forgiveness for people and for nations, that after a while, He draws a line. and grace is removed and judgment is inserted. And people think, well, you know, I got all the time in the world to get my spiritual act together. Well, you want to play spiritual roulette with your life like that? That's your business. But understand, one of these days, grace will end and judgment will begin, either good or bad. For which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. As we know, suddenly is 1 hour, 1 day. Jeremiah 51:2. I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may winnow her and may devastate her land. All the foreign investors that have come in and under the federal banking system, the great merchants of the world have bought up much of our real estate. They bought up much of our industry. American made. Yeah, right. Foreigners have their hands almost in everything anymore. But anyway, for on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. They'll suck the blood out and take it and run when the time comes that we are destroyed. What they can get out of it, they're not caught up in it. That's when you want to be a CEO from home, from your native land. Then Eden, Obadiah 1:7. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread, who have become rich off of you, given our business and our monetary wealth and prosperity to foreigners, rather than giving the American citizen the advantage in all cases. See, I set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Fire is the primary agent used in the destruction of both Babylon and Eden. Several verses reference that. Babylon, Isaiah 13:8. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will ride like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment. Their faces aflame. Jeremiah 50, verse 32. The nuclear attack that doesn't disintegrate you. It'll light you up like a candle. The arrogant one, verse 32, Jeremiah 50, will stumble and fall with no one to raise him up. And I shall set fire to his cities and will devour all his environs. So obviously, highly populated areas will be primary targets in regards to the attack. But yet it'll be so much, it will consume the landscape all around them. Even in the countrysides. Chapter 51, verse 30. The
mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They are becoming like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. The bars of her gates are broken. 32. The fords have also been seized, and they have burned the marshes with fire. And the men of war are terrified. All of our defense bases, marshes being natural defenses that one might have to protect themselves or defend against an enemy attack, all that stuff's going down. Verse 58, I always think of Fort Polk, Louisiana when I read that verse. It's where we did our basic and AIT before we went to Vietnam, because it's a lot like Vietnam. 2nd February. Man, that gets cold there in February, but anyway. Thus says the Lord of armies, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed, and her high gates will be set on fire. All that we have built up to protect ourselves, it will be destroyed in the nuclear holocaust. So the peoples will toil for nothing. The nations become exhausted for fire. It's one that the first responders are not going to be able to put this one out. They'll be doing good to protect their own land, to try to stay healthy on their own part. Revelation 18:8. Again, Revelation 18, reference to the political Babylon. For this reason, one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. God promised after the flood that he would not ever again judge this world with water. What he does judge it with is with fire. And it begins with us as a nation. And then his word will be spoken, and he'll kill all of his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon in this respect. Then Edom is Isaiah 34, 9 and 10. Judgment on Edom, verse 5 and 6, verse 9 and 10. His streams shall be turned into pitch, and his loose earth into brimstone. And his land shall become burning pitch. They finally struck the gusher. They found all the oil there everybody's been looking for years. Pitch, that's what it resembles. Tar, oil. And it shall not be quenched night or day, verse 10. The smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall be desolate. None shall ever pass through it forever and ever. It's the exact language used for Babylon, used for Edom. Verse 10. And then Obadiah 1:18. Obadiah, verse 18. And the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be stubble. In other words, it's going to look like Jerusalem is done for before Christ does actually return and save her as a city. There will be some success, military advance in regard to the city of Jerusalem as they fight to defend themselves. And a lot of it will be set aflame through the military endeavors. But it's nothing compared to Esau, that the house of Esau will be a stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them. so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau. In Jerusalem, there will be survivors. Recognizing that in this period, obviously, Jews are warned in regards to things that are going to occur through angelic messages, as well as Moses, Elijah, and other doctrine passed through the 144,000 of their disposition. They will be told to leave at one point, drop whatever you're doing, and head to the highlands to get out of Jerusalem because of attack. Some will do this, some will not. And you have all the differences that will occur during this time, and at the end there will be people there still trying to hang on to Jerusalem, militarily and otherwise. All right, 15. The law of, in the Latin, lex talionis, which means the punishment fits the crime. Not all crimes equal, therefore not all punishment is equal. But punishment should fit the crime. Steal something in certain Arab lands, they'll cut off your hand. You want to put graffiti on our walls over here, we'll cane your butt. Oh, you're back. People moan and groan about that kind of stuff and discipline, etc. While we just let ours over here just go crazy. You can do what you want. Go up and burn a city if you want to. Go ahead. And you can claim a couple of miles for yourself and have a party like you're at some type of Vietnam-era hippies. They don't know what hippies are. I met a couple of them. My time, see. All this stuff. Nothing new under the sun. It's just we are advancing the chronology in regards to the divine schedule in regards to our world and our nation. That's all that's going on right now. So the law lex talionis is invoked as a standard for God's judgment as ascribed to both Babylon and Edom. So Babylon, we have Jeremiah 50, 15 and 29. Verse 15, raise your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. Obviously, some type of frequency interference has neutralized our space defense system. That's what it was like to me. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. And she has, as she has done to others, so do to her. They say, well, when did we go in and just completely wipe nations out? Apart from Hiroshima, incidents like that. It looks at all the evil that we've imposed on other nations through economic means, political means, and things of this nature. And it's one thing to do business internationally. Bible doesn't have any problem with that. Jews can do that. But it's another thing to go in and manipulate nations in the same vein and seek to take control of their economic hub of existence. See? And that's what you had the great merchants doing. But anyway. Verse 29, what has she done to others, so do to her. Some and many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow, those who have nuclear capabilities, and camp against her on every side, let there be no escape. They'll come from the east, they'll come from the west, they'll come from the north, and probably from the south to a certain degree. Let there be no escape. Verse 29, repay her according to her work. The culpability of knowing what is right according to biblical guidelines and standards of dealing with other nations
and we've just thrown that down the tubes. We have upset other nations, all in the name of democracy and freedom. We have destroyed nations in that vein so that we can get a foothold in regards to the wealth and the advantage of wealth that those nations supposedly have to offer, whether it's natural or whatever. Pay her according to her work, according to all that she has done, so do to her, for she has become arrogant against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. She's despised the good conscience that Bible doctrine otherwise is designed to give those who align themselves with it, as we have done in the past. In the past, our allies, we were there to protect them against aggressor nations. We've way overstepped our boundaries in the past century in that regards. Even World War II was largely political, even though it was probably the last military venue that we could claim at least some essence of righteousness to it. But anyway, Jeremiah 51:6. You don't want to agree with me on these statements, that's your business. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment. For this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. And he's going to pay her back. And as we know, through other verses, double. And that, again, invokes the culpability factor in regards to our nation. In regards to the laws of land that are being severed and chopped down today, even as I speak. Our freedoms and civil liberties. Verse 49. There's a principle out there. It's a continued train of thought. That the Constitution holds no weight when it comes to the greater good of our country. That's the verbiage that is used. Hence why you can quarantine people and diseases and things of this nature, their constitutional rights go out the window because it's for the greater good of men. Of course, the hypocrisy in regards to that statement is so obvious to anyone with any logical thinking under their cap otherwise. We are the greater good, the entire people. And it's what we determine in regards to being our good is as it should be and not the government's responsibility. But anyway. Just little things like that. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears peeled. Or, well, whichever direction you do it with. Ears open and your eyes peeled. You may want to peel your eyes after reading some of that stuff. It's not over yet. And I don't know. But we may have to live with it for the rest of the church age. That's all right. It will not be anything that is too much for us. We'll be able to handle whatever test comes down the pike. God promises us that. All right, let me get back here to our verse 49. Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel. And also Babylon, the slain of the earth has fallen.
56, we read that, for the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, her mighty men will be captured, their bows are shattered, for the Lord is a God of recompense, he will fully repay. Revelation 18:6. If I lose my place, you can understand there's a lot of verses staring at me. Pay her back even as she is paid, and give back to her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. The real concept or the real perception that one should draw and can draw in regards to this is what would happen to this world if God did not do what he says he's going to do in regards to our country. The road that it would take the world down is almost unimaginable. Obadiah 1:15. The cup which she has mixed, so that invokes the future potential of what she intended to do. Read that earlier. For the day of the Lord draws near all nations, as you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. That's for Edom. 16. Their destruction is likened to that of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we've seen verses already. But again, we're looking at all of them so that you can see this parallel that's here. Babylon, Isaiah 13:19. Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go along weeping as they go. Wrong one, hang on. Jeremiah 50:40, right? As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, declares the Lord, no man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. And then for Edom, Jeremiah 49:18. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, says the Lord, no one will live there, nor will a son of man reside in it. See, this is language almost exactly the same for both parties. Seventeen, both suffer depopulation with loss of all human and domestic life. Babylon, Isaiah 34:10. It shall not be quenched night or day. That should be Edom. Isaiah 34:10 should be Edom. That's my error. I caught it. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall be desolate. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Now I'll make that change on my notes. Jeremiah 49:18. And that should be Edom 2. Edom will become an object of horror.
Let me see. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, 49:18.
And no one will live there, nor will the Son of Man reside in it. All right, so I missed something here. We know Obadiah 1:18 is Edom. So, evidently, if somebody else has something to throw in there, that's all Edom. If I am so energized and motivated, I'll look this up and correct it for you next class. Give you a Babylon verse. We've read them already. You can probably go through there and pick one out. All right. 18, civil and military leadership are unable to respond. Babylon, Isaiah 13:8. They will be terrified, pains and anguish take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment with faces of flame. We read that one earlier. Jeremiah 51:30. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They become like women, joining a place set on fire. The bars of the gate are broken. Edom, Jeremiah 49:22. He will mount up and swoop like an eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah and Edom. The hearts of the mighty men of Edom that day will be like the heart of a woman in labor. Uh, 19, both become objects of horror by any that witness the devastation. Jeremiah 50 for Babylon. 3, for a nation has come up against her out of the north, it will make her land an object of horror, and there will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off, they have gone away. So you can take Jeremiah 50, verse 3, and insert it up in point 17 if you'd like. That would work there. I know I'm supposed to study on my own time, but that's the way it goes. Verse 23. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. Jeremiah 50, 1:37. And Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunted jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. There's you another one you can put up in point 17. And I'll make those corrections for the website. Verse 41, how Shishak has been captured and the praise of the whole earth been seized, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. It repeats that quite often, doesn't it? And then verse 43, the cities have become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert, a land in which no man lives, through which no son of man passes. So you could add that one up on Point 17:2, if you like, for Babylon. Depopulation. Then for Edom, Jeremiah 49:13 and verses 13 and 17.
because of the indignation of the Lord, that's righteous indignation. She will not be inhabited. Another one for point 17, if you like. But she will be completely desolate. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified and will hiss because of all her wounds.
It's just like they lose their breath. It's just the magnitude of this destruction that's going to occur. They think the riots are destructive. And this world has seen nothing yet. They thought Hiroshima was destructive. The world has seen nothing yet. Unless you were Noah and his family. You saw that. Both are reduced to an uninhabitable desert, repopulated with unclean desert creatures. Again, Babylon, Isaiah 13, 20 and 21. They will not there be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will there ever pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lay down there. The desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. He won't even have people do any type of nomadic research or anything of that nature after this destruction. People, it will be taboo. You don't even want to come close to this continent. At least our area. Their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will also live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. And hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her faithful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. Jeremiah 50, verse 12. 12b, behold, she will be last of nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. 51, chapter 51, verse 37. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals. 37a. And then verse 43, we read that earlier in point 19. Parched land in a desert, a land in which no man lives. And then Edom, Isaiah 34, verse 9. Read that earlier. Streams shall be turned into pitch, loose earth into brimstone. This land shall become burning pitch. Verse 17. He has cast a lot for them. His hand is divided by the line. They shall possess forever, generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. Let's see here. Where am I at? Point 21. Okay, thank you. So if I've lost you now, that's all right, because I'm lost myself. Isaiah 34, 9, okay, 11 through 15. I got you. Thank you. Families get old. The pelican and hedgehog shall possess it. The owl and raven shall dwell in it.
And he shall stretch over the line of desolation, the plumb line of emptiness. Verse 12, his nobles, there is no one there whom they may proclaim king, and all his princes shall be nothing. 13, and thorns shall come up to his fortified towers, nettles and thistles in his fortified cities. It shall also be a haunt of jackals and the abode of ostriches. 14, and desert creatures shall meet with the wolves. The hairy goat also shall cry to his kind. Yes, the night monsters shall settle there. Bigfoot. And shall find herself a resting place. Verse 15, the tree snake shall make its nest and lay eggs there. He'll hatch and gather them under his protection. Yes, the hawk shall be gathered there, everyone with his kind. Carrying birds being unclean. The destruction, obviously, is so intense, it will be felt on a universal scale. All right. Our time's up. Obviously, I'm burnt out with it. So we'll finish this part off Sunday and get into the next parts. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.